The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That was good. Thank you. Take your Bible and go back to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 7, please. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I want to speak to you this morning on the gift that takes an eternity to unwrap. The gift that takes an eternity to unwrap. You know, one of the most favorite times as I was coming up in Maryland, where I was born and raised, was at the homestead when it was Christmas time and it came time to unwrap the gifts. Now, we was warned not to try and figure out what was in the gift the night before. My brother would often try to go out the night before and he'd shake the boxes and he'd try to figure it out. And sometimes he'd take a pen knife and he'd cut the end of it open and then he'd try to tape it back, but you know, with the glittering lights, it would always shine against the tape and, you know, and he'd always get caught, and always get in trouble and have to open his gifts last. But I remember coming up, you know, my parents went to great, great struggle to make sure that we had a good Christmas. It wasn't always times where we had a lot of gifts, but there was times of just cherishing those moments together. Then when I became a little bit older, I began to enjoy giving more than receiving. And I began to understand about making your parents happy too. And so I started to find out what mom and daddy wanted. And so I saved up. And oftentimes, when I first started off, I'd just save up about a month and try and buy them something, you know, that was on their short list. And then as I got a little bit older, I began to appreciate them even more. And so I began to save up for what was on their long list. And their long list was always longer than their short list. And I remember saving up and trying to buy those things, such as, you know, microwave ovens and dad needed new tires for, you know, maybe a vehicle or something like that. And I remember saving up and buying things for my parents on their long list. And can I say, there's nothing like the joy of being able to give to somebody and to be able to meet a need and be able to have the pleasure of meeting those needs, especially in the lives of people that you love. And here we see in the Bible, we see the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see something that I believe is very noteworthy here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." And when I thought about that last night, when I thought about it and meditated on it this morning, I began to think, you know, that gift that was wrapped, laid in swaddling clothes in a manger, will take all eternity to be able to unwrap. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it doesn't stop with salvation for you and I that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, but inside of salvation, there are so many blessings. Inside of being saved, and it just seems to continue to unwrap and unwrap and unwrap and unwrap all the blessings that God has given to us. I know many times when I was sitting there as a youngster and we would have our favorite spots that we would sit around the Christmas tree. And then the way we did it back then was everybody would have all their gifts brought from underneath the Christmas tree to their presence. And so we would be sitting in certain areas around the living room And normally it was the older son, which was Dave, my brother that's in heaven now. He would go and he would get the Christmas presents from the tree, and it was his responsibility to deliver them to each person's sitting position. And so he would go over and he'd get them and he'd deliver them to each one of us as we were sitting in a certain area. And then my parents would always do this. We would always be able only to open one gift at a time as we went around the circle. It took forever, you know, but that was just the tradition of my parents, you know. And so it wasn't like, okay, everybody open. It wasn't that way at all. It wasn't that way at all at our house. We took our time and everybody got to open their gift. And then once they opened their gift and they showed it and everybody oohed and aahed, then we go to the next person. And then they would open their gift and everybody would ooh and ah and anxiously awaiting our turn. And so we'd go to the next person. And they would always start at the oldest person first. So Dad got to open his gift, and then Mom got to open her gift, and then Dave got to open his gift, and then I got to open my gift, and then Mark got to open his gift, and then Joe got to open his gift, and then we'd start the circle all over again. It took us, if we had, especially for us, our parents, you know, we would give them expensive gifts, like 3x5 cards. You know, we would give them expensive gifts, like we would wrap up a card and inside the card we put the card. It just said, I love you and thank you for being our parents. And we put the card inside of a box, inside of a box, inside of a box. And I know you don't do that to your kids or your parents, but inside of a box, inside of a box, inside of a box. I think my dad took that very seriously one day when he wanted to give something to my little brother that was about this size, and he went out and he bought himself a washing machine box. And then inside the washing machine box, there was another box, and there was another box, and there was another box, and there was another box. So my brother decided to get one of us back. He dared not get my dad back, but he decided to get one of us back. And so the next year, he got a washing machine box, and he put all these little boxes in that washing machine box that were empty. So you go through and you start opening these boxes, and you'd open up, there'd be a card in there. It would say, this is not the one. And you had about 9 boxes inside of a washing machine box, and only one of them had a gift in it, and it was a gift card that was devalued, you know. And so, but I remember those types of times, and they were fun times. They were fun times. I remember one time my dad dressed up as Santa Claus. I remember this. And he dressed up as Santa Claus, and my younger brother saw somebody running around out back. So my dad had dressed up in the garage, and he was going to climb into the back window. And my brother saw this figure running across the backyard. He thought somebody's trying to break in. So he went around locking all the windows and locking all the doors. And then my dad started knocking at the window saying, let me in. And my brother saying, you're not getting in this house. I remember that. I remember all those fun times, you know, of growing up with my dear parents. You know, over here in the book of John, chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says the Word in verse 12 of John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory, it says, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Christmas is all about. It's not Xmas. It is Christmas. Somebody said, well, Xmas has to do with the Greek, and that's how you would spell that or whatever. But, you know, most people don't know Greek. And if you go up and you start speaking Greek and you try and order your lunch today, you'll probably be starving by the time they figure it out. And so, you know, I believe you ought to use the words that people understand. And I have fun at Christmas time. I mean, to be able to go up and I've had fun checking out, because, you know, some of the stores now tell their employees, do not use the words Merry Christmas. You know, you can have so much fun with that, you know, because I say Merry Christmas and they say same to you, and I say, oh, no, I just gave you my money, and so therefore you've got to say Merry Christmas. And they said, well, we're not really supposed to say that. I said, well, let me help you. Just repeat after me, okay? And I say, Merry, and they say, Merry, and I say, Christmas, and they say, Christmas. I said, didn't that feel good? Didn't that feel good? You got it out, you know? And they said, oh, it felt so good, but we could get in trouble. I said, well, if you get in trouble, you come see me, and we'll go both practice it to your boss, and we'll get him to say Merry Christmas too. Now, can I tell you that we ought not to leave Christ out of Christmas? And you ought not to be frightened to mention the word Christ or Christmas in our society. Let me give you a couple things to think about this morning as we talk about the gift. Let me get these two guys to come up here and help me a little bit. And so we understand that Christmas is a time of understanding that which is what Christ is all about. And so we understand this. The Bible teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 2 and in verse 6, the Bible says, and so it was, be seated, fellas, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And in the book of Luke chapter 2 and in verse 7, the Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. We understand the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also understand that because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have that which is eternal life by receiving Christ as our Savior. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall, listen to what it says, save his people from their sins. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 about that one that was going to be called Emmanuel, the same one that was prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So what do we do with that one that it is the Savior of the world? What do we do with that one that is called Emmanuel? The Bible says over in John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Jesus Christ was there in that manger, and Jesus Christ, if you would please, was there lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But as Jesus Christ was there in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, all eternity was wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And as we go about giving people gifts this year, let's also be quick to understand that the greatest gift that you could ever give to anybody is the gift of eternal life. That eternal life cannot be given by you as far as ownership, but it can be given as being able to understand helping somebody to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And so we understand this. We understand that there was a gift and it was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now today we wrap our gifts differently. But in order for a person to be able to receive a gift, they've got to be willing. I could go up and I could say, hey, I've got a gift for you, and him say no. You caught on pretty good there. And not receive it, or he could just receive it. That'd be totally up to him. You know, you can go out, and I was out soul winning yesterday, and I had the privilege to be able to show people their need of Christ, and people bowed their heart, and they received Christ as Savior, and I was so glad. But can I tell you, there were some people I went up to, and they did not want to receive Jesus Christ. They decided that they did not want that gift that has been wrapped just for them. But can I tell you, when a person does receive Jesus Christ as Savior, there's more to it than just that which is wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's more to it than that which is just a normal wrapped type of gift. Because we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about that one that shed his blood for you and I that we might have eternal life. We're talking about that one that gives the gift of salvation. Now, you cannot get that in Allah, and you cannot get that in baptism, and you cannot get that in being good, and you cannot get that in keeping one of the seven sacraments or one of the Ten Commandments, or you cannot even get that by becoming Baptist or Lutheran or Presbyterian. You cannot get that because you're a Church of Christ or because you're a Pentecostal background. You can only get that by receiving the one who gives that, who is Jesus Christ. And so when I receive Jesus Christ, I receive the gift of salvation. There is no other person that can give that gift of salvation other than Jesus Christ. And so when I receive that gift, there's more to it than what meets the eye. when you saw that child in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and you see him wrapped in swaddling clothes, when you see him wrapped in swaddling clothes, can I tell you, it might have just looked like another child, but it wasn't. It might have just looked like a normal birth, but it wasn't. It might have just looked like it was insignificant and totally of unimportance, but it wasn't. Because when Jesus Christ was born, he was born as the Savior of the world. So we understand this, the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation is where it all starts. It's where it started in my life. On July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night, Reese's Carnival Ground, Westminster, Maryland, when I was 18 years of age, and David Lee was a 16-year-old completed Jew. He stopped, he gave me the gospel, and when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when I received that gift, it was not just a gift like another type of gift. There is no other gift that's like another type of gift when you talk about Jesus Christ. Can I say you, there is the gift of salvation. Stimmer number two, because of that, there's the gift of eternity. Inside of Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternity. Now, I realize we're good churchgoers today. And I realize that probably if you did not come to Parkside Baptist Church, you probably would have found a church to go if Parkside Baptist Church did not exist. Here in the Dallas metro area, can I tell you, we've got churches. Now, I'm not saying that all of them are Bible preaching churches. And I'm not saying that all of those are clear on the gospel of Christ. But can I tell you, you chose to come to church today to a place where we understand dogmatically. And I'm talking about we understand exactly what the Bible talks about when it comes to eternity. Eternity is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. See, when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, it is forever. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It is forever. And so when I receive Christ, where the Bible talks about, it says in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 12, the Bible says, for this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. The Bible says over in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, you know it well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there is not two ways or three ways or four ways to heaven. There's only one. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, for we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Listen to it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Bible says, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right? So when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives me eternal life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can be happy about that on your sad day. You can be happy about that when it's raining outside. You can be happy about that if it ever does snow. You can be happy about that. I remember, by the way, when I went to preach. Was you there when I preached at your college? Up in Commonwealth? Boy, I remember preaching at the college. My wife had flown down to California, and she was going to be in a ladies' conference in California, and I flew up to Kentucky to preach at Commonwealth Baptist College for Dr. Fugate. And I remember I called my wife once I got to Kentucky, and she got down to California, and she had 72-degree weather, and I had about 72 below zero-degree weather, you know. And I said, I think we got confused about the will of God. You should have came up here to preach, and I should have went down there to preach, you know. Now, can I tell you, watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God does special things in your life. And one of those special things in your life is when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God gives you eternal life. And even on a bad day,
Man, I about froze to death that night in that and that little dormitory room that they housed me in. And can I tell you though that was still a good day? That was a good day. Come on. I appreciate all the men, and we had several men that was up here yesterday, and I am so grateful to you. But several men that was up here yesterday working on our buses, making sure the buses were able to run today, and a lot of work had to go on one of them, and they put in hours, and then I appreciate some of the men came over, and I was up here working, and had some headlights that had to be changed out of my truck, and some of the men got together and decided they were going to take care of that for me and change those headlights out. And by the way, listen to me, did you know that that never would have been possible had I never been saved, had I never gone to Bible college, had I never been in the ministry and all those ministries I was prior to coming to Parkside Baptist Church, and had not accepted the call here, right here as pastor, Parkside Baptist Church. I never would have got to know these men. Now, these men that worked on my truck, can I tell you, they were a blessing. Amen. Now, there's blessings that are in store. Statement number one, there's the gift of salvation. There's the gift of eternal life. Then there's the gift of that which is blessings. Blessings. You know, I don't know if Daniel and Edna, as I mentioned earlier, as that couple that been watching them, been married for 60 years or so, and came over and treated them to a meal because they looked like that they were madly in love and just married. Yeah, I don't know if that would be the first or only the first or maybe no more after that. But can I tell you, we have had so many blessings. Man, I went over here to Panera Bread the other day, taking my dear wife out. We love Panera Bread, and we'll go over there, and sometimes we'll sit down, and we like their soups. And so we went over there to eat soup, and one of the guys was there, and he's now manager at Panera Bread. And boy, he came up to me, and he said, "Preacher, it is so good to see you." And boy, I remember you having a big part in my life. And he said, "I'm now manager." And he smiled at me real big and swiped his card, you know, and just to be a blessing. Just to be a blessing. I walk in this gas station down here, and they call me their pastor. They don't even come to church, and I'm their pastor. I go up to pay for coffee. They say, "Oh, no, pastor, not you. Not you." Hey, what? There's blessings there. There's blessings there. I go over to Sears, and I have my oil changed at Sears Automotive Center. And I walk in there, and Wilson's in there, and who's that other brother that's in there? And he's in there, and boy, I'll go up, and I'll begin to talk to them, and boy, they'll shoot me every discount they can find. They say, the one dear brother said, "I've never had anybody come in this place and witness to me before, and it's worth its weight in gold to be able to be a blessing to somebody that was such a great blessing to me." I'm telling you, there's blessings in store. You know, when you're a child of God, hey, there's the blessing of salvation, and there's the blessing of knowing that salvation is for eternity. But there's also the blessing of knowing that you're a child of God, and as a child of God, God rains down blessings on your life. Went down to Cooper Clinic, and one of our members wanted to have me checked out, and went down to Cooper Clinic, and they found a little spot on my back here, and so they wanted to send it off and have it diagnosed. And so while I was on the table, they decided to shoot me up with some stuff that would deaden the skin. And then they took their scaffold and they went in there and they cut that out and they sent it off, and it came back benign. Well, to me, that was a blessing. I talked to the man that was the doctor that was over the whole thing, and he said, "Do you take vitamins?" I said, "Yes, sir, I take them 5 times a day. He said, "5 times a day? He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I drink coffee 5 times a day. And coffee comes from the bean. And bean has vitamins and minerals in it. So I'm taking my vitamins 5 times a day. He said, "I like you." I said, "Well, I'm glad you like me." I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, I take my vitamins 5 times a day too." And we started talking, having a good time. And listen, can I tell you that I worry about people that's always just down. And, you know, God can help you. You can see the brighter side of things if you want to, just because God's blessings are so good. You live in Texas. You're not fighting the snow right now. I mean, just because you live here, God is showing you some blessing. You're going to get to go to somebody else's house and eat probably for Christmas, and you didn't prepare it. That's a blessing if they cook good. Hey, I'm telling you, there's blessings. You got good health today? Thank God for it. You've got children that are healthy? You thank God for it. You're in a good church? Thank God for it. You've got friends? Thank God for it. You don't have to always walk around with poochy lip disease trying to figure out where you're going to trip next as your bottom lip sags down between your two big toes. You can thank God that God has been good to you. I was reading a book the other day. Mike Ray, that comes to preach in our youth conference every year, he put a book out called Influence. Good book. So I picked it up on Tuesday and decided I'd do a read-through. And so I read, it's only, I don't know, 50-some pages, so a very short book. And so I read that book, and the first whole chapter, watch this, you could write a book. The first whole chapter was saying, I thank God for this person, and this is what I've learned. I thank God for this person, and this is what I learned. I thank God for this person, and this is what I learned. I thank God for this person, and this is what I learned. You know, when you start to focus on what you have learned and the blessings that God has been for you, you'll find out that you're richer than what you think. You'll find out that God has been more good to you than what you sometimes let on to be. Come on. Your husband's still alive. Your wife's still alive. Your kid's still alive. Thank God. You got a vehicle that runs? Thank God. You can afford to put a little bit of gas in the vehicle? Hey, thank God for that. You got a roof over your head? Thank God for that. You got a bed to sleep in? Thank God for that. You've got clothes for your back? Thank God for that. You don't always have to be somebody that is a, I wanna. You can be a, thank you God. And those blessings come to you. Why? Because God is good. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 15, the Bible says, but it says, I have used none of these things. It says, neither have I written these things that it should be done unto me. It says, watch it now. He says, for it's better for me to die than that any man should make my glory, watch what it says here, void. All right, so what is he saying? He's saying that, hey, there is blessings there that you don't even see that is right there, if you would please, that's kind of like underneath the cover, the blessings of it. When I was growing up on that 180-acre farm in Millers, Maryland, first couple years of my life, it got cold in Millers. I mean, it became very cold in Millers. We lived in a two-story farmhouse, an old two-story farmhouse, and we didn't have any heat upstairs. The way they heated the first and primary floors, they had a stove, and you put wood in it. It was an iron stove, and it had these little round things, plates, if you will, that they would take, and they would move that over, and they put wood down in there, and that's how they heated the primary floor. No heat on the secondary floor. And so come wintertime, oh, I tell you what, I loved those heavy, heavy quilts. Now, it was cold when you got under them to begin with. And they put so many on us, you know, that stayed over on the farm that you couldn't move. I mean, once Mrs. Wagner tucked me in, I couldn't move. I mean, forget about it. If you got scared, you'll just tremble. And I remember those days, but can I tell you, I remember those blessedness. I remember helping out in the summer houses. We'd kill the hogs and we'd grind them into sausage and stuff like that. I remember working in the summer house during those years of slaughtering, and I remember that, and I remember the goodness. I remember working out in the old woodshed and cutting and piling up and cording up wood, and I remember helping my granddad to do that before he died, and I remember the goodness of that. I remember the first time that my grandparents bought me a pony. And they said, I was 6 years old, and they said, you're old enough to have your own pony. I said, okay. And so they bought me a pony, age six. And so I had a pony. And it had just a two-wheel little cart on the back. And I wanted to see how fast I get the pony to run. And so I decided that I'm going to take a corn cob and hit the pony in the back here, in the rear end. And boy, I gave it everything I could, hit that pony, and that pony took off. I mean, cart and all. It took them over an hour and a half to get that pony. 180 acres is a lot of pony running. And it took them an hour and a half to get that pony. And finally, he got that pony. And I remember my dear grandmother looking at me saying, "Well, I guess you're not old enough to have a pony. We're taking it back." Now, that was a gift that was given and a gift that was taken back. But can I tell you that the gift that Jesus Christ gives, he never takes back.
Amen. Amen.
Statement number one, we see this. There's the gift of salvation, the gift of eternity, the gift of blessing. And let me give you this, and I'm done. The gift is for all. The gift is for all. You know, I think one of the greatest things for Christians that has ever been invented is what they call a gospel tract. I think that's one of the greatest things that's ever been invented for Christians. Man, you can take that and you can give that to anybody and everybody. And it has a clear presentation of the gospel whereby they can come to an understanding of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. I was talking to somebody the other day and I gave them a tract and they said, "Oh, I don't want that. That's all you're going to give me." And I said, "Oh, I think you misunderstand. Sit down." And they said, "Well," I said, "sit down." They sat down, they sat down beside me. I said, "Let me show you this." And I went over to the plan of salvation. And within a matter of minutes, they came to a clear understanding of receiving Christ. And did you know after they received Christ, they said, "Well, I tell you what, I needed that so bad." You know why? Because they saw what was wrapped up in the gift. They saw. And I think if you and I as believers would allow our salvation to be seen, not hidden, but seen. Now, how do you do that? I tell you one way. Oh, go ahead and open it up. I tell you one thing. Open it up. And I tell you one thing that we understand for sure. That when salvation is given, it can only be given and understood because it's revealed in that which is the Word of God. There's a boxer over in the Philippines by the name of Manning. And Manning's sister got saved at Doug Sisson's church. And go ahead and open it up. You might want to flip it over, and I don't know, they might have taped it real good, and these guys that carry butcher knives with them, they can help you, okay? But Manning got saved, and so Manning decided, and every year he'd have this big old feast is what he would do. And he's a boxer, and he'd have this big old feast, and it was a drunken feast. And so he decided he was going to invite everybody to his Christmas feast not too long ago. And instead of giving them car keys to brand new cars, instead of giving them this, that, and the other, and trips to different places, and the guy's a multimillionaire, he decided he'd do this. He decided that he would give everybody a Bible. And so they were so anxious, you know, because they're used to coming to this feast, and they get drunk, and they'd have dope and all sorts of stuff. And he got saved, and he said, "Since I got saved, no more of that stuff. No more of that stuff. I'm going to do the best I can to live for Christ with what I can learn." And so he decided what he was going to do is he was going to wrap up inside of all these different types of party gifts, he was going to wrap up Bibles and get everybody Bibles. Now, can I tell you, some of those, when they opened up those gifts, they got angry. They threw that box. They were all mad. They put their Bible down, and they were disgusted, and they wanted to walk out, while other people took that Bible and just held it and said, I wondered what had happened to you. And he got up and gave his testimony, and there was people that got saved. Now, can I tell you, listen to me, it is important that we understand that that gift is for all. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to tell somebody about Jesus.
Right.
You don't have to be somebody that is theologically sound in everything that you understand in order to introduce somebody to Jesus Christ. You don't have to be somebody that's going to Bible college and you know the ins, the outs, the ups and the downs of everything about the Bible, from that which is the history to that which is all the doctrines and so on. No, you can be somebody that would simply decide that I care for somebody else. The Bible says this, and I'll give you a closing illustration, and I'm done. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. The Bible says, and I showed you all things. It says, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how that he said, it is more, watch what it says, it is more the blessed to give than it is to receive. He said, remember the words. So it's something he said over and over again. I can imagine that little lad getting that lunch and being able to give it, and the Lord pulling the disciples together and says, pay attention now, fellas, pay attention, understand this, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine the woman from Samaria coming up and him talking to these fellas that was around, said, put your stones down, pay attention, and I can imagine him saying, no, look, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine a blind man walking by and him touching the eyes and saying, now, fellas, pay attention to this. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine a man that's crippled walking by, staggering only on one leg, and as he drags the other one along, maybe with a crutch, and our Lord reaching out and touching him and saying to the disciples again, now understand this, remember these words that I'm saying now, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I cannot tell you during Christmas time, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I wanted my parents to get saved so bad I could taste it. I really did. I did everything I could to get my mom and daddy the gospel. And I thank God that mom and daddy got saved before they died. And I thank God my wife led one of my little brothers, Joe, to Christ. And we lived in Brooklyn, New York together. And she led Joe to Christ in our apartment building that we lived in, that apartment in Brooklyn, New York. And she led Joey to Christ. And Joey got saved, my youngest brother. I remember Mark getting saved. Mark bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior. And I remember that. What a wonderful blessing that was as he came to my wedding. And I was late for my rehearsal, because I was leading Mark to Christ underneath a tree, and my wife forgave me of that, of course. And I remember Mark getting saved. But I had a brother that was just, he just had trouble. He just did not want to get saved. He was as mean as a junkyard dog. I mean, he didn't want nothing to do with Christ. Just nothing to do with Christ. Owned Wells Electric Company in York, Pennsylvania. And I'm testifying the truth. You could ask his kids. Mean as a junkyard dog. I mean, he made up curse words. I mean, just mean. I tried to lead him to Christ, and he wanted nothing to do with Christ. And then one day, Sean, his boy, got saved. And Sean got a burden for his daddy. And Sean began to pray, and Sean began to cry, and Sean began to witness to daddy, my brother, my older brother, over and over again. And my older brother refused the Lord over and over again. But he could not turn away from the fact that he had a son that was walking around in complete misery, trying to lead him to Christ. And finally, one day, he sat down and he heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And my older brother, Dave, that's in heaven today, bowed his heart because his boy just kept trying to give, just kept trying to give, just kept trying to give. Two little girls, every morning they get up on a Sunday morning in Ohio. Daddy would always come home Saturday night. He'd be drunk. Carl Hatch told the story as he had the privilege to watch this man walk down the aisle and receive Christ as Savior. But these two little girls used to ride the bus every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, just little bitty girls ride the bus every Sunday morning. Thank God for the bus ministry. And boy, these two little bitty girls would step over top of Daddy's body when they go out to get on the bus, because many times he lay drunken there at the door. And they would go back in oftentimes during the wintry months, and in Ohio it gets pretty cold, and so they go back in, they find themselves some type of cover, an old shirt, an old jacket, sometimes an old blanket they would find in that run-down old shack of a house. And they would turn around and they would cover their daddy up so that daddy could, they couldn't move to daddy. I mean, daddy was too big. These just two little bitty kids, you know. And so they would take and they would cover daddy up, and then they would step over daddy and go out there and get on the bus and be loved at a church like this. Over and over again they would do it. Never knew how to witness to daddy. Never knew how to give daddy the gospel. All they knew is they loved their daddy. And all they knew is when they went to church where they were loved. And so every time they'd go to church, they'd make sure that daddy was cared for, and they'd step over their daddy. Mama had run off with a man many years before, and daddy was all they had left. And so here these two little bitty girls would go out, and Brother West, they go out and they get on that bus and they head down to that Baptist church. Years had gone by and Carl Hatch came through, and Carl Hatch used to be a drunk. These two little girls heard about Carl Hatch and heard about that, boy, there's going to come a guy to church, and he used to be a drunk, and her daddy's a drunk. They begin to plead with their daddy, would you come one night, would you come one night, would you come one night? The last night of the revival, daddy came. Daddy walked the aisle. Daddy received Christ as his Savior. All because two little bitty girls just kept trying to give. Just kept trying to give. Didn't have much, but just kept trying to give. Can I tell you, inside of that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, is a gift that was for you and I that would take eternity to continue to unwrap and see all the value that we have in Christ. Let Christ be the center of your Christmas.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.